We're the big swing in Johnson, bro.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday. What the hell is today? April the 6th, 2027? I don't know. Pardon me. Do you have the year? I'm Morps. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our cyberpunk world, information security, and drinking unhealthy amounts of hot sauce. Tonight we have... Are you 46? Are you? What's your favorite hot sauce?
Nothing. I'm not a racist bigot like you.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Madman, what's your favorite hot sauce?
Tabasco.
Really?
Yep.
More of a Frank's guy. Huh. Although the Chipotle Tabasco is not bad.
We don't really have it here. Like, you guys have it all on your restaurant tables and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not a condiment that's used a lot.
Huh.
Outside of, like, a specialized restaurant or something. Yeah, there are a few bottles you can get in the supermarket, but it's nowhere near the... I think it's because our food has taste.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that very well could be. BSV, what is your favorite hot sauce?
Whatever is available.
Just whatever. And finally, Suave, what is the capital of Viseria?
Of which area?
Viseria. It's a Monty Python quote.
Oh, you lost me.
Off the bridge you go.
At least BSV someone give guy.
That, someone give that man a damn good thrashing. All right, anyone in here who doesn't know Monty Python's, get out.
All right, go ahead, Swap. Hot sauce.
Does sriracha count?
Yes, it does.
I was even going to say maple.
Hot sauce.
Oh.
They make a maple hot sauce. I'm gonna look it up.
They should. They really should.
I'm sure.
Call it
the
Canadians.
The answer is yes.
So I have got an unhealthy amount of Captain Morgan's Cannonball. This is actually surprisingly good. Anybody else got an interesting liquor?
I'm drinking cappuccino oatmeal stout from Blue Moon.
Cool. What you got, Swole?
Some dihydrogen monoxide. Delicious.
That's not liquor. That's cancerous.
That's not liquor, dude. That's just, well, whatever.
It's dangerous.
That's like
it's
a solvent.
It is a solvent.
It's an industrial solvent. You shouldn't drink that.
Of course, it kills so is Coca-Cola, now that I think about it.
Just drinking Nerd East.
Okay.
But on a side thing, I just searched up hot or maple hot sauce. There's a Vermont maple sriracha hot sauce on Amazon for you, Suave.
God.
And there's a recipe for homemade maple hot sauce right there in the chat. Let us know how you go for next week.
He's just gonna come back on. His voice is gonna be all raspy, sort of like when Heavy had his surgery. He's like, "Fuck you all, fuck you guys."
I have been on the toilet for a month.
Oh, so worth it.
I kind of want to put that on pancakes now. The side of bacon,
chili infused pancakes.
All right, so let's see. I forgot to think of silly intros for everybody. That's all right. I'll accuse you guys of having weird collectibles and fetishes next week. So, anyways, oh yeah, just in case anybody didn't know, apparently support for Windows Vista is ending. So you haven't upgraded yet.
Gee, what an announcement. I never was expecting that.
Isn't that like 4 years old?
Oh no, my favorite operating system.
Yeah, they just announced like not long ago. It's like maintenance is ending for it. Like, good God, it hasn't yet? My prized fist ends off. How will I play Quake 2? I don't understand. Actually, no, Quake 2 is way before Vista.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what a good Vista era game was. Everybody jumped to 7 so quickly.
I don't think there was a quintessential Vista game, was there?
I don't think so. I think everybody went from XP to 7 and just kind of...
I know I did. I noped out on Vista.
Maybe like UT 2K4?
I think that was XP.
Yeah, it might have been XP.
I was playing Doom last night, and something fucked up in the game, and I couldn't get my machine out of, I think it was a DOSBox. Everything looked like it was 1995 all over again.
You went back into VGA mode.
It was terrifying.
It shows you how much the interface depends on actually having resolution now.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking about the original Doom, not the new one.
No, the original, man. I can't afford games at the moment.
Fair enough.
I can. I'm just deciding to eat food.
Well, you know,
food,
everybody has to make these decisions. Food, games, hookers, guns. I mean, you know, American dream, yeah. Right?
Wait a minute. Nah. If you get a gun, can you then acquire a hooker and a game for cheaper? Because bullets aren't that expensive.
I don't know.
The food addiction is real. Actually, for anybody with girth, you believe that is true.
I had another great discussion with a guy last night who really tried to get me into methamphetamine. The big selling points was he was missing three fingers. And I'm like, what happened there? He said, I had worms in them, so I cut them off with pinking shears.
Oh, God!
Yeah. Once again, kids, stay away from methamphetamine.
I was thinking of using it as a weight loss supplement for a while. But then I thought cocaine's more natural.
I was hoping for like a farming accident or cheese grating, but no, shears? Oh.
Apparently he'd been binging for like 10 days, just doing shot after shot of meth. And yeah, he just fucked himself up and got so paranoid that he thought there were worms in his fingers.
And then the hallucinations kicked in, and what do you know? There are worms in his fingers. Go get the pinking shears.
He had 90 days in a psychiatric unit because of his deep psychosis. Yeah, it was pretty crazy shit. I just met him because I went and had a coffee with an old friend who was working with him. And the guy was pretty cool, man. When he's not on meth, he's a nice guy.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Yep. Cocaine.
You can only count
more natural
seven now.
Weight loss supplement.
Thank you, Morbs.
Well, you know, installing that drum kit was so worth it. Anyways, so yeah, the neighbors, on the other hand.
Yeah, that kid like fucking Pavlov to it. Every time he hears it, he just starts salivating at the door.
You do a rim shot every time you fill up Rom's bowl.
Oh, the cat? Yeah, that'd be. We're gonna give the cat some strange stimulus response. Ever since it was a kitten, we rang a bell every time we fed it. Now we just torture him. We ring the bell and he looks happy for only a moment. And then the cat looks disappointed. Oh, that's horrible. I don't feel bad.
Yeah, at least do it to like another human.
Yeah. Milgram experiment, right?
But yeah, man.
So, anyways, so this first article up, RU sent me, and it's hilarious. GarageJet faces backlash after locking out an irate user. So, the maker of an internet-enabled garage door device is facing a backlash after blocking its use by a customer who complained about the tech. The owner had written negative comments about GarageJet's kit on both Amazon and the startup's own site after having problems with the app. People have expressed concern about the U.S. firm's actions. The block has been reversed, and founder Dennis Grisarak agreed his first reaction was not... Oh, the founder did it!
Yes.
Was not the slickest PR move. Lighting the building on fire may not have been the most measured response. He noted that Tesla's Elon Musk was canceled a customer's order after citing the auto or criticizing the automaker online. Okay, that's not canceling an order, buddy. That's locking him out of his house. GarageIt's kit is designed to let owners open their mechanized garage doors remotely to let visitors in and offer a way to check the doors have not been left open by mistake after leaving a home. Pretty sure most home alarm systems support this. Product raised $63,000 on crowdfunding site Indiegogo last year and has gone on sale everywhere. But on the 1st of April, a buyer named Robert Martin complained on Amazon that the product was junk and referred to it with a swear word on the firm's own community board. A swear word. That's what, not the sound effect I wanted.
What harsh language did he use?
It didn't say. It just a swear word.
A rancid piece of shit. Fetid donkey balls.
I could have sworn I had the dramatic chipmunk sound there ready to go. You know, BSV's usual theme, but no, I don't have it on soundboard, so I can't make that joke.
They called it a Hanzo main.
We called it a Hanzo main.
It's a Hanzo main.
So he added that he had been denied a server connection. The next day, Mr. Grisak replied, "The abusive language here and in your negative Amazon review submitted minutes after experiencing a technical difficulty only demonstrates your poor impulse control. I'm happy to provide the technical support to customers on my Saturday night, but I'm not going to tolerate any tantrums." He added that he had denied a server connection to Mr. Martin as a consequence and suggested that he ask on Amazon for a refund. When another user accused Mr. Garrick of breaking the law by breaking the kit, he denied this, saying he had not changed its hardware or firmware. Well, if the thing relies on a server connection to function, it's still effectively bricked, isn't it?
Hang on. Whoa. So this guy has a shit fit to the maker on a Saturday night, and then wonders why the dude just gets fed up with him. Like, come on. It's a Kickstarter, or it's a little indie project. You're not going to get 24-hour tech support. I think the guy's a little unreasonable.
Yeah. Other people on there started calling Mr. Grisak a petulant child, and another claim sales are going to tank if people think you have a kill switch. Then be fired anytime they say something you don't like, which in this case is actually kind of true. Said no intention of repeating the action. One tech industry consultant was also critical. The bottom line is that he's already a hard sell to get people to embrace the so-called Internet of Things. Said Ben Wood from CSS Insight. In particular, there's a huge amount of trust involved in having something that can open your doors. When instances like happen, it's harder to get these kind of products into people's homes. So, by denying the server connection, he basically prevented the guy's device from working. In other words, he's sitting there hitting the button on the app, and the garage door's not opening. So, of course, I don't know about you guys, but I also keep my house keys, so if I can't get in the garage, I can at least open the front door, right? But, you know, still, that's a pretty shitty move to just, you know, break the device like that because you can over the internet.
Honestly, like, that's just more indicative to me of just, like, really shitty design. Because, like, you can't expect a server to stay up forever. Like, that's just not ever going to happen. There's always services that you see that, like, you know, they eventually shut down or get bought out or something like that. And they don't have any financial incentive to keep those servers up. And then you lose access to, like, some DRM-protected, you know, book or movie or something. Or
for sure. I mean, how many,
like, an actual real world item? So once again, like, this is like just another complaint against this whole, like, adding DRM and, like, you know, having these, like, service based objects where you have to pay a monthly fee to use something in your own home. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not the best comparison to a garage door, but how many MMOs have shut down that people paid for? Like, you had to buy the game, and now that you've bought it, but the servers are shut down, you can't play it.
Yeah. Yep. How much of the Internet of Things requires a server outside of your home to actually function?
A fairly surprising amount of it, because the way these devices generally work, they use a cheap ARM or MIPS processor with a very small install of Linux, and these things have usually about the same amount of horsepower as a cheap home router, or maybe a feature phone, not like a smartphone, but like a cell phone feature phone kind of thing. And all of the actual work is done on the cloud servers, because If the devices just don't have the horsepower to do it, because if you put enough horsepower in the device to handle this kind of thing, you know, they'd be twice as big and have heat sinks on them and fans, and you know, if they're battery powered, you know, good God, the battery would only last 20 minutes, because at that point you'd basically have laptops, right? Now, yeah, Intel's done the compute sticks and Raspis and stuff like that have a measurable amount of processing power. And if all they're doing is, you know, running a little web host and doing things on a cron job, well, okay, that's not so bad. But, you know, if they're doing all this fancy scheduling and coordinating with, you know, online systems, and so that's the trick is, oh, it's all online. You can check it from anywhere. If you can check it from anywhere, that means it's on somebody else's system, not yours. That's how it's always internet connected.
Whereas this is an issue with this garage door, it's also an issue that could happen with any Internet of Thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for the most part, some are probably going to have an option to run like a local server, but you know, like the Amazon Alexa, is that what it's called? The voice thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not even processing the voice commands on the little device. That device is a microphone and a Wi-Fi card. It's sending everything up to an Amazon server to process it. It's actually the same thing with all the voice assistants on your cell phone. Because even though your smartphone may actually have a fair amount of processing power on it, it's not enough to do real-time voice recognition. That's a lot of horsepower it requires. And plus, too, if you put your own... if they actually published the voice processing algorithms on your phone, on Android anyways... you know, potentially somebody could decompile it and get that stuff out of it and, you know, steal your tech. So usually the other reason to do Internet of Things on the cloud is you can put all your proprietary technology on the server. You don't actually have to worry about somebody pulling a DVD player apart and getting the decryption codes and then publishing them on T-shirts and arguing that you can't outlaw math. Because that was, you know, that was a big thing with DVDs when they broke the DVD encryption. They actually tried to say that this string of numbers was illegal to publish. Well, it's just a number. You can't make that illegal to publish. So,
kind of want that on a T-shirt now.
Yeah, you used to be able to buy the DVD decryption keys on a T-shirt, because then you're not buying a DVD decryption key. You're buying a T-shirt with a artistic work on it. You know, so they were just being really stupid to get around the thing.
I tip my hat to the guy that came up with that.
I quite enjoyed it when I read about that. But the point being that all of this stuff lives up on the cloud, and you can't actually see how it works. You can't take it apart and get the code out of it. So you can't reverse engineer the device to an extent. I mean, you can watch the network traffic and maybe get an idea of what's going on. But if it's pulling data from all over the place, which is why I like using the voice assistants, because those are a really good example. You know, it does all that processing up on the servers. And if you don't believe me on this, next time you're on your cell phone and, you know, you got an iPhone, so you do the Siri or whatever, turn off, you know, put it in airplane mode, turn off Wi-Fi, turn off your data, and try to use Siri. It's not going to work. It's going to tell you try again when you're on the internet. And, I've got one of those voice recognition things in my car. If I happen to be in an area with really shitty cell phone signal, because it's obviously using a cell phone in the background, or GSM modem anyways, it won't be able to do the voice recognition in the car, because it's not the car's computer that's doing it. It's sending it off to a cloud. And again, the reason I like using the voice assistants as examples of this is like, well, if everything's going on in the cloud, how come it knows what my calendar is? Because your phone copied your calendar up to the fucking cloud. That's how it works. We're back in the mainframe days with dumb clients, and nobody seems to have noticed.
Hey, how do my nude photos get published?
Yeah, it's funny that. So,
because you're a woman, and you took them. That's why that happened.
It's just bizarre that people have no idea where their data is going.
No, they have no clue. They think it's magic. Little fairy dust that works inside the phone, or it's like Discworld where they got a little demon and they're painting pictures and it's eventually going to pop out of the screen and say, hey, buddy, I'm out of pink. Look at something else.
I like that. I'm going to think of that from now on. And this little dude inside my computer just painting the screen constantly.
Yep. So.
Don't let the magic smoke out. Whatever you do.
But how is he supposed to get fresh air?
He's a demon. He doesn't need fresh air. Anybody who doesn't get that joke obviously hasn't read The Color of Magic. Anyways, Discworld people, read a book. Anyways.
Yes, we all know how cameras work.
Save a tree, burn a book. But yeah, because, I mean, it's all about making these devices cheap, low power, small, fanless, so there's no noise. You got to be able to run it off 5-volt USB connector. God forbid you have to use a power brick or, you know, a battery that lasts more than half an hour.
Ooh, the old phone line. How much juice did that put out?
Nothing really. Not enough to kill you.
It could get up to like 48 volts when the phone was ringing, but I mean, it was like almost nothing amperage was.
Yeah.
You might be able to run like a LED light or two off of it. That'd be about it.
Yeah, okay. I've actually seen little lamps that you could buy that you could plug into the phone line for emergency light.
I suppose if you had if you converted the voltage into, I mean, you could maybe pump it through a transformer and get a very low voltage with a little bit of amperage to actually do something with it. That's probably how those lights are working.
Yeah, I don't know. I just assume they're LEDs.
Yeah, I don't know, because most people don't even have working phone lines anymore. It's all cell phone now.
Oh, but they're still actually being installed in your house. You just never.
Well, they got to be hooked up to something.
Yeah, they're hooked up to the old phone lines. We haven't actually gotten rid of them yet. Building codes prevent it.
That's a fair point. Oh yeah, 911 service. That's
yeah.
A fair point. So, anybody else have any thoughts on the garage door?
I think it's hilarious. It's a horrible marketing, horrible thing to do for marketing. A hilarious thing to do to an asshole customer.
Well, I mean, and if you think about it, this is not the first story we've talked about where, you know, cloud-enabled Internet of Things stuff quit working because somebody in the company either shut it down or was an asshole, or like Nest thermostats. They decided it was time to make everybody buy a new version of the thermostat. So instead of putting out an update for their old hardware, they just said, yeah, we're not supporting this one anymore. It's going to quit working on such and such date.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that a lot with the, like, cameras and shit.
Yeah, that was a big hoo-ha with the camera mob, wasn't it? They released the camera, and a year later, they bricked it.
Yeah.
Because they had a newer model. And they weren't cheap to start with. I forget which one it was, but...
So I just, you know, understand what you're buying with these services. You are not purchasing a device, you are renting a service. And, you know, hell, and your cell phone's like that too. Sure, you own the device. It's, you know, got like a 400 megahertz MIPS processor and 32K of RAM or some bullshit. Maybe not K of RAM, 32 meg of RAM. But, I mean... 32K of RAM. What is this, a Commodore?
Like, nobody needs any more than 32K of RAM.
You know...
And no, nobody will ever need any more than that.
It's funny, though. The more I think about it, I can imagine dystopian futures. Well, maybe not even dystopian, but futures where they ban surface mount circuitry because you can't work on it. So everybody goes back to old, like, 1970s and 80s tech. I could absolutely see that.
That is dystopian.
It'd be a fun fiction to write.
The older transistors are a lot more resilient to EMP.
Dude, I got Commodores that still work in the closet, and I've got computers that, you know, are 5 years old that quit working because some, you know, they're fucked, and you can't fix them. I mean, I suppose you could if you had a high-end microscope and you know, a hot air rework station and a lot of patients.
Not worth it, though.
So, Cycross says AmigaNet's still up, which I believe. Because, I mean, a lot of this old stuff, as long as you don't power cycle it very often, it's probably going to work forever. I mean, you ever take apart one of these old 1980s computer, the traces in those things are huge, man. Let them thermal crack. Yeah. Who cares? Anyways, let's move on to this Ubuntu story. I don't know that anybody else besides me cares. Ubuntu 18.04 LTS will use GNOME as the default desktop instead of Unity. For anybody who wasn't keeping up about, I want to say, 5 years ago? Geez, maybe longer than that. Maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. Ubuntu switched off of GNOME instead of going to GNOME 3 when GNOME 2 was discontinued. They started making their own desktop called Unity, which had serious Mac envy. And, you know, at first it was weird. And they've been developing it for a while, and so they kind of forked some parts of GNOME 2 and some parts of Compiz, and you know, put their own spin on it, but it's all still basically a GTK desktop. And now they have given up on maintaining their own desktop, and they're going back to GNOME. So I don't know if we're gonna see a stock GNOME desktop, sort of like the GNOME remix of Ubuntu today, or if they're gonna go in and do their own theming, or even try to make it look like Unity. Because the interesting thing is the later builds of Unity were actually built on top of GNOME 3, and most of the Unity interface elements were just widgets. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Where's the statement here? We'll continue to produce the most usable open source desktop in the world to maintain the existing LTS releases, to work with our commercial partners to distribute the desktop, and support our corporate customers who rely on it, to the delight of millions of IoT and cloud developers who innovate on top of it. Despite the blunt about turn in developing technologies, the projects have dominated the project over the past few years. Digital Wolf reaffirms Canonical's ongoing passion for investment in and commitment to Ubuntu desktop that millions rely on. So the other side effects of this, they are also dropping, I believe it's called Mir, where they were writing their own next generation replacement for Xorg, which everybody else was working on Wayland, so Canonical decided to do their own. And they're also giving up on Ubuntu Phone. Wow. Dude, you're Cyloning hard.
That is sexy.
Well, can they say they're maintaining their own desktop if they're just porting GNOME? Shouldn't they say we're going to use GNOME as our desktop and give up the pretense?
I don't think it's a pretense. I think they're talking about their overall system.
Oh, okay.
Which, admittedly, I used to really like Ubuntu before the Unity crap. I quit using it and started either using Zubuntu, which is the one with XFCE, or Mate was okay, but I never really got into that one as a desktop. Arch for a while, and I'd usually set up a KDE on it, and kind of bounced all over the place, really. Hell, even used SUSE for like a month. Bob, you get your microphone fixed?
I think so.
Yeah, you did. All right. Go ahead with what you were trying to say a minute ago.
Oh, no, I was just really disappointed that they killed the Ubuntu phone. I was really looking forward to having, like, a full-featured Linux mobile device. But, I don't know. It probably was never going to live up to standards, so they just gave it up.
I think after the Kickstarter failed, they should have known years ago that it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's a pretty niche market. You're never going to make a lot of money making something like that.
Well, I imagine you'll eventually see somebody take chunks of the Android operating system and start swapping it back with Linux. And I think some of the ROMs were trying that, now that I think about it. CyanogenMod wasn't. CyanogenMod was a pure Android build, but I thought there were ROM images that were, they were trying to take chunks of Linux and move it back into Android to to make a more Linux-based smartphone.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up again. I might be thinking of something else, though. Not the Samsung thing. Samsung actually shipped Tizen on some things. Although there's some security researchers who picked that thing apart and found all kinds of problems.
So. Yeah, the phone won't get picked up unless they can get a major company to say, hi, let's try a Linux phone. And I don't know how many of them are willing to do that since Microsoft kind of bombed in their phone.
You're thinking marketing too, man. And unless you're in the world of IT or something like that, you've got no idea what fucking Linux is.
Yeah. And the, you know, your average user just wants something that's easy to use. They don't want a desktop-like environment.
Yeah, if it doesn't have an eye in front of it and come with a big scoop of douche, then they don't want it.
Or risk of fire. A lot of people like the thrill factor.
Hey, man, I love the Samsung all-terrain. Yeah.
All right. So the next one up is from Ars Technica. Uber has devised a clever and sophisticated scheme in which it manipulates navigation data used to determine upfront rider fare prices while secretly shortchanging the driver, according to a proposed class action lawsuit against the ride hauling app. When a rider uses Uber's app to hail a ride, the fare of the app immediately shows to the passengers based off of a slower and longer route compared to the one displayed to the driver. The software displays a quicker, shorter route to the driver, but the rider pays the higher fee and the driver's commission is paid for the cheaper route, according to the lawsuit. Oh, wow.
All right. I don't see the drivers having a complaint on this one because they're actually going the shorter route. But they are scamming their customers out of a shit ton of money doing that.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Uber defendants deliberately manipulated the navigation data used to determine the fare amount paid by its users and the amount reported and paid to its drivers, according to the suit filed in federal court in Los Angeles. Lawyers representing a Los Angeles driver for Uber, Sofanto Van, said the programming was shocking, methodical, and extensive. I'd play the noise here, but I haven't bothered to find it and load it up on the thing. The suit, which labeled the implementation of Uber's technology as a well-planned scheme to deceive drivers and users, is one of a number of lawsuits targeting the San Francisco-based company. The suit ranges from disputes over drivers' employment rights to sex discrimination to trade secrets theft. Just weeks ago, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick declared that he needed leadership help. Sex discrimination.
I don't know, man. I've been trying to figure that one out for ages.
Oh, it's because penis.
Well, thank you, Madman.
Well, we know it's on Madman's mind on a Thursday night.
Whenever you see sex discrimination, that's the reason. There's 9 out of 10 times it's no thing anymore. And I hate saying that because discrimination on any category is wrong and needs to be looked into, but there's been so many crap cases brought up that I default to it's bullshit unless you have it on tape, the dude saying tits or get the fuck out.
So this is actually really easy to solve, though. I mean, your Uber driver just has to turn around and say, so what'd the app show you on the rate for that, and then compare. Let's just both hold our phones up and see what the hell the thing's doing.
You know, like, I just can't help but think, like, so many people taking Ubers are probably familiar with the route that they would be taking. So you'd think that some people would notice a difference between the map that they're shown and the map that the vehicle takes.
Yeah.
Unless it's, like, very minor differences, or it's only an occasional thing that they do it, or something like that.
I haven't actually looked at the Uber map, but beyond just hailing an Uber and saying, where do you want to go? Do Uber users really pay attention to that map?
That's a good point. I'm sure some don't.
Well, someone had to have because they caught it.
Yeah, I suppose.
The couple of times I've been with people using Uber, they either didn't know where they were going, so they had to trust the app anyways, or they were drunk and didn't care. And considering a lot of people I know, when they're using Uber and they know where they are, it's because they're drunk. So they may not be paying that much attention.
I do see this as a wonderful ad for every other ride-sharing service, which I'm blanking on any of their names, but the ad is, ride with us, we won't fuck you like Uber.
Nice. Well, on the other side, like if the Uber driver is using a Volkswagen, they're getting fucked in all their software then, aren't they?
Whoops. So, anyways, the moral of the story is, pay attention to your apps, double check them. Don't necessarily trust that the app is always correct in whatever it is you're doing. You know, it doesn't hurt to double check it and make sure the math is right.
Or support your local taxis.
Or you could do that.
Local taxis, you're not supporting anyone. You're supporting them less than Uber. A taxi medallion costs a little over $1 million in New York or in pretty much every major city. I was blanking on the one close to me. So when you support your local taxi, you're supporting your local taxi company, not your local taxi driver. Uber, even when they're fucking over their driver, they're fucking them over less than a taxi company.
The taxi driver's still got a job at the end of the day if someone's using that service. So.
Yeah, and so does the Uber driver on that one.
I'm just more likely to get a cab, dude.
Well, you are probably less likely to get dumped out in the middle of the nowhere or shot.
That's my thinking. But then again, you know, getting in a cab, I'm likely to get raped.
You know, cabbies are not generally known as the most wholesome bunch.
Everyone that I've used around here has been super good.
Last time I was in New Orleans, we took a cab to get around, and that was cool. The cabbie took us down the haunted highway, told us the story about why the highway was haunted. We got a kick out of her. She was great fun.
Yeah, I've never had any issues with taxis, and again, I've never caught an Uber, so I can't compare. Then again, I've seen more
sketchy Uber drivers than I have taxi drivers. How about that?
Well, dude, it's coming from the internet.
Yeah. Like I'm Uber with and 4chan. And a license.
That too. Yeah. Like, I don't want any dude from My Little Pony's board picking me up. You know, that's...
You get in the car.
You're definitely rolling the dice when you call an Uber driver. Although, I've definitely hit some pretty sketchy cabs.
Uber, you do get to rate them, and you can look at the driver's ratings. Now, we're questioning the validity of Uber's programming, so I guess this feature could be called into question as well. But so supposedly, you can rate them and you can get rid of the bad Uber drivers.
So your review said you had 6 My Little Pony dolls, but I only see 5.
And I've met some taxi drivers that were meth addicts and carried a gun. So,
well, I don't blame them for carrying a gun. I mean, shit, you never know who's going to get your car.
Yeah, but I don't want somebody that's been awake for 4 days on meth with a fucking gun.
Come on, man. Meth's great.
Or driving a taxi.
Just now, check they've got 10 fingers.
But the meth is keeping them going. Now, as long as they have meth.
What's interesting to me is half the cabbies I've met are also Uber drivers, just on their off hours. So I don't know.
Yeah, so I do a couple of shards of meth before I get off shift. That way when I go back on shift for my Uber, man, I'm all fresh. Yeah, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Wow. Pixies. Uber.
That's a ringing endorsement if I've ever heard it.
Humanity!
What?
That wasn't me.
I think I accidentally clicked something.
Humanity is going interstellar.
Close enough.
I just wanted to add, this whole conversation is going to be completely irrelevant, give it like 10 years or so for self-driving cars to get up to par for running a mass transit service.
I don't want to be fed into a wood chipper.
And then Uber doesn't even have to pay the...
All right.
I do want wonder how long it's going to take for us to get rid of the laws that are making self-driving cars illegal in a lot of the states in the U.S.
As soon as I figure out how to tax something else to replace speeding tickets, yep, and the wear and tear on vehicles going down because the computers are better drivers.
Well, that road maintenance, you know, things like that are all paid out of insurances. And is when there's no more accidents, what the fuck do you want insurance for?
Well, if and since most of the concepts around that I've seen anyways around self-driving cars is that you won't own a car. You'll just pay a service like an Uber, and they'll just come and pick you up at all hours of the day, and they'll just have automated fleets kind of running around all day.
Yeah, and that'll be the day, you know, you pry my vehicle from my cold, dead body.
I think there's always going to be the option to buy the vehicle. You know, I'm sure there's going to be companies and stuff going for that business model, but I think there's always going to be a market for just buying them.
And, can you imagine, you know, the amount
even
of...
like with all the expense and everything like that, I could even see people like going in on a in a group and buying one, because you know, just fucking haul between houses, people, it doesn't, it's no inconvenience to other people, like everybody only use your car for a small fraction of the time. Obviously if you're commuting, that's a bit of a different story.
I was just thinking of all the homemade porn that's going to be done in cars that people don't actually own.
So you get in and you realize nobody's cleaned the seats in weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm just like, fucking no, man. I'm not getting into that whole, yeah, let's all be hippies and fucking ride share and shit. Fuck off.
Oh, I definitely am not on board for that. I live in Saskatchewan, man. There's on average like 2 vehicles per person in this province.
I was gonna say you'd be waiting an hour and a half if you rang one
out.
Your
own car out here. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next article. This one's from The Verge. 5 years ago, YouTube opened the Pepperidge Farm. Remembers? YouTube opened their partner program to everyone. This was a really big deal. It meant anyone could sign up for the service, start uploading videos, and immediately begin making money. This model helped YouTube grow into the world web's biggest video platform, but has led to some problems. People were creating accounts that uploaded content owned by other people. Oh no. Sometimes big record labels or movie studios, and sometimes other YouTube creators. In a effort to combat these bad actors, YouTube has announced a change to its partner program today. From now on, creators will not be able to turn on monetization until they hit 10,000 lifetime views on their channel. YouTube believes that this threshold will give them a chance to gather enough information on a channel to know if it's legit. It won't be so high as to discourage new independent creators from signing up from the service. In a few weeks, we'll be adding a review process for new creators to apply to be in the YouTube partner program. After the creator hits 10K lifetime views on their channel, we'll review their activity against our policies. YouTube's VP of Product Management in a blog post published today. I skipped the name. Ariel Barden. If everything looks good, we'll bring this channel to the YouTube partner program and begin serving ads against their content. Together with these new thresholds, we'll help ensure revenue only flows to creators who are playing by the rules and they left unstated and that we agree with. Yeah, well, YouTube's had some problems.
Like 10,000 views is pretty reasonable.
It is, but they're also saying they want to review the channel before they bring it into the partner program as opposed to just having it automated. This would be because of all the right wing and, you know, people who they don't agree with.
Personally, I've been against their like fully automated business model like this whole time, because like people are constantly running into problems with like false takedown requests and all this other shit. And because it's all automated, there's no real review, so you have all these like stupid claims coming through and like causing people all kinds of grief. So you know, like, I'm not against you know, 10,000 views. Like that's no issue.
Well, I mean, I think yeah, they're just talking views. So if you get 2 or 3 videos up and any of them get sufficiently popular, I mean, that should do it.
Oh yeah.
I'll be honest, I misread the article when I was first selecting it for decking. I thought it said subscribers.
That would be a bit different.
Oh, well, 10,000 subscribers.
I thought it meant
subscribers, different.
Not views. So,
okay. Like, I made a YouTube channel once, and I basically just filmed myself building a MakerBot, posted all the videos up. I think there was like 8 or 9 videos, and forgot about it. And it's been up there for a long time, and it was up over like 50,000 views over all the videos on the channel.
I think that's because of the one video, like, where you accidentally forgot to put on your pants.
And then there's the, like, I don't know, like 70 subscribers or something like that. So, like, you know, getting lots of views isn't difficult. Even, and like, these were super shitty videos, like, just horrible. I was mumbling and, like, just fuck, yeah, it was bad. It was, like, filmed on some shitty netbook webcam.
But now, this raises a question. What about these, you know, services where you can buy views or buy likes? You know, are you going to have people gaming the system to get their channel started?
Well, I think that's what the actual review is for, so it's...
Yeah, and, you know, like, to get to buy that many views, I feel like you'd have to really make some money on YouTube after that for it to be worthwhile.
Probably true.
I bet you a lot of these people were relying on, like, short lifespan, relatively low view count, but, like, high volume different channels to make money. I'm sure these channels got shut down eventually, so they probably only run for a couple of months. You know, they get a check or two, and then they...
Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on, you know, the internet monopoly that is YouTube before we move on?
Well, I already know their review is going to be biased, so just be prepared for that.
Stand by my claim that YouTube won't be relevant by the end of the year.
Well, I know that a lot of the big-name advertisers are currently attacking it and trying to... I mean, they got several advertisers to drop it earlier this year.
Yeah, but the big-named advertisers, they're not where YouTube's making most of their advertising money. So, Coca-Cola dropping them or Ford dropping them, that's not hurting them that much. The way YouTube's making a bunch of... Well, the vast majority of its advertising money are no-named advertisers, because getting an ad on YouTube, it's... fucking cheap when you compare it to radio or television. So, Bob's Pizza R Us are getting YouTube ads.
I wonder how hard it would be to get a G15 YouTube ad, just to get that.
I'm curious about this. Is anyone checking, like, the, you know, inverted commas, child-friendly videos, you know, the Dora Explorer and that sort of shit, that advertisers like fucking vapes and shit like that and chewing tobaccos aren't advertising? Or alcohol?
Well,
or
I
adult product?
I was,
you know, is anyone
hell.
Checking? That's what I'm saying.
No, they're not.
Because to me, it seems like all these advertising that got real double standard when it comes to shit. You can't say that, but, you know, here you go, little Billy. Try this new vape.
I always thought it was odd that, like, I would click on a YouTube video for, like, Crowder or 1779L or whatever the channel is, and you know, because it's showing up in the recommended feed, so it's like, okay, we'll see what this is, or Molyneux, and before that video plays, they play an ad for, like, The Daily Show or Samantha Bee, and it's like, okay, if I am clicking on a Crowder video, I'm probably the last person to ever go watch a Samantha Bee video. What the hell are you doing?
On that, I kind of like
that, you know, I sort of see that just before the, you know, Screwdriver album that you're about to listen to and fucking UHF Feed the Kids comes up for Starving Africans or something.
I like the idea of getting an ad for something that you're not going to normally watch, because a lot of people, we are, and the Google algorithms are helping with this, we're starting to just consume points of view that we agree with. And that's not good. I mean, I should hear something that challenges my beliefs. Otherwise, I don't know if I believe it because I actually believe it or just because I'm brainwashing myself.
Madman. That's why we bring Suave and RU on the show.
Okay. Hi, Suave. Thank you for keeping me from whatever, brainwashing myself.
I don't know if I'm doing a very good job.
Oh, no, you're not, but thank you for trying. I mean, I can't blame you for not succeeding, because you're trying. Thank you. I just have a really good brain that wants to wash itself.
I'm just trying to see where I'm diametrically opposed to a lot of things that you say. Whereabouts is this happening?
Well, and another thing with the ads, one reason these kid shows aren't getting flagged, it's not advertisers that care as much as people see a point of view they dislike, and then they see a Coca-Cola commercial. And since going after, for this example, since you said Crowder, going after Crowder, Crowder doesn't give a fuck. Going after Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola might give a fuck. And
fair enough.
They don't care what was said. They just hear, these people that might drink Coke are unhappy, and we want everyone to drink Coke, so we don't want our ads to be played on anything that anyone might ever find offensive ever.
Yeah.
Man, oh, yeah, I just figured they get a drink. Sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, people don't realize with advertisements, it's not about, like, you know, trying to convince somebody to buy your product in, you know, this 5 or 30 second space. No, it's just brand awareness. You know, you're driving this brand into them so people subconsciously buy things they're familiar with when they go to stores. You go to a store and you see like 5 different brands of the thing you're going after, and you recognize one of those brands. Which one are you going to buy?
The one I don't recognize.
Whichever one's cheaper, usually, but...
There you go. Yeah. Whoops. Yeah, but pretty much at the end of the day, if you're going to drink a Pepsi or you're going to drink a Coke, you're going to drink it. You don't care who it's associated with.
Yeah. You know? But it's not a conscious thing. Like, it's not... Like, you're not making this decision because you remember seeing the ad. It's just, you know, it's been drilled into your head so many times that it's just like this subconscious reaction.
That's a fair point.
I challenge the statement that, you know, because I've seen the ad, I'm going to go ahead and pick that because it's subconscious.
It's not that it's subconscious. It's just paying.
And it's not because of one ad. It's just, you know, like if something is like drilled into you, you know, 10,000 times, regardless of whether you agree with it or not, it's still going to have a permanent like effect on your reactions because it's something you've been exposed to so much.
It's one of those things where if you're making a decision and you're not really paying attention to the decision you're making, yeah, you're probably going to go with whichever's more familiar. So I see
people
that.
People don't care that much about these things, you know? Like, it's just... Like, nobody really has any brand loyalty. Well, you know, I guess some people do, but I'd say the majority of people don't. Like, they don't really care. So they just grab whatever.
Laser just brought up a fantastic point in the IRC. Jingles. Why don't ads have jingles anymore?
Because they're fucking annoying, and every time one of those ad songs gets stuck in my head, it's a guarantee I'll never touch their fucking product again. That's
why. Loving it.
Dude, no, that's not McDonald's. How the song goes, Madman. It's but up, but diabetes.
I have never, ever in my life eaten a McDonald's hamburger.
Oh, we're fixing that next time you come to town. No, nope, you're gonna vomit for like an hour.
It is never gonna happen. No,
you're gonna like wake up in the morning and there's gonna be a hamburger in your fucking mouth. That's
gonna work. So, okay, you know the lawsuit that fat kid filed against McDonald's where he claimed they duct taped him down in the back room and force fed him Big Macs and Frosties? That's gonna be you.
Don't think
that
so, man.
Happened?
No, God, damn it, Madman.
No, yes, Madman, that happened. You should tell a lot of people about it. It's a story talking about.
I don't believe that McDonald's tied him up. I just want to know, did someone actually make a lawsuit saying this? Because I believe
someone would
do that.
McDonald's got them fat, yes.
Oh, fucking amazing. And Laser's also right, White Castle. Buck McDonald's, you're eating a White Castle.
No, it's not going to happen. I'll knife every one of you motherfuckers before you even get a chance.
I tried Vegemite, you can try White Castle.
No, big difference. You just tasted yeast and black stuff. I'm not touching that shit.
You're going to be eating beef, onion-flavored grease, and whatever's in the bun.
No.
We don't really know anymore. At one point it was bread, now it's just kind of bun-shaped.
It's a bun-shaped slimy thing. I'm good.
Yeah, I found the article for you, RU. It's from 2002. Fat teens sue McDonald's. Because kids just can't resist those Happy Meals.
Fucking yes.
We're bringing a suit on behalf of the children. It's hard to argue that a 6, 8, or 10-year-old child has to take full responsibility for their decisions when they're lured into McDonald's by the toys and the playground and the Happy Meals and the birthday parties.
No, but the parents are who you would sue, not McDonald's.
I can just see Ronald McDonald out there. Come here, children! Oh, God, that's creepy.
Oh, God, we can make a pedophile Ronald McDonald's commercial now.
I'm just going to rocket snail right on to the last couple of articles here. Next up is from Ars Technica. It's a WikiLeaks Vault 7 story. WikiLeaks Vault 7 released files from Central Intelligence Agency's software development server, having largely consist of documentation for various malware projects the CIA's engineering development group created to aid the agency's mission. But on Friday afternoon, WikiLeaks began actively releasing portions of the CIA's development library, so the actual code. And while the release contains no malware, it's potentially the most damaging information released so far that could undermine the ongoing CIA operations. The release was of a repository of code for the CIA's EDG obfuscation tools called Marble. The tools were used to conceal the signature of the implants developed by the CIA from malware scans to make it more difficult to reverse engineer them if they were detected and to figure out where the malware came from. So this is their masking software. It's where they're running their code through algorithms to where you can't figure out that it came from the CIA. And in the screenshot, it looks like it's actually converting the encoding. They've got functions here to convert to Arabic, Chinese, Russian, Farsi, and Korean. So they're inserting these various languages in, they've got functions to insert foreign languages into code to make it look like, oh, this code has Farsi in it. It must have came from, who speaks Farsi? Fuck, I'm blanking on this. Somebody help me, Swab. You're Canadian. You know shit. Who speaks Farsi?
Middle East. I don't know.
The Middle East. Okay. To make it look like the code's from the Middle East, or Russian to make it look like it was the Chinese, or Chinese to make it look like it was the CIA. Anyways. So yeah, they actually are releasing the code. It's just functions that look like they insert languages, among other things. There's nothing particularly magical about the CIA's tools other than they were developed and tested by a professional team, and the code itself is extremely well documented. Implant code for Windows systems was obfuscated with a tool called Marbler, a C++ application that obscures text string and binary objects within implants in a number of ways. These methods include scrambling the binary content using a number of bit-shifting techniques and inserting snippets of foreign languages such as Chinese or Farsi with a feature called Warble. Warble. Is that like a Murloc? Persians. Farsi is Persian. The characters in the set include code appear to be mostly gibberish, placeholder text, including Lord Ipsum. So, anyways, anybody care? Really?
I think
it's interesting.
It's interesting, and it means whenever the CIA says, "I know they did it because of X," I'll be like, "You're fucking lying to me. You did it."
I hope antivirus companies use this information to their advantage.
I do too. I really hope they do.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to the CIA has hacked your machine pop-up.
Don't look now. The CIA has hacked your wireless dildo.
To be fair, I'm sure the CIA is using none of these programs anymore.
You'd think that.
Yeah, I guess that's giving them a lot of credit. I'm sure somebody's formed a committee somewhere in the CIA to determine which software they should use.
Well, who would ever suspect the CIA of using CIA tools that have been leaked to WikiLeaks? This is the perfect denial.
Yeah, who would think we're using this now? Obviously, it's not us.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually not a bad point.
This next article is hilarious.
It's the Hacker 4chans.
It's the Hacker 4chan. After they got done blowing up the vans, they started going after our tools.
Yeah.
Okay, this next story is hilarious, and yet another attempt on my part to make Big feel bad for missing the shows. This is from pentestingpartners.com. Sometimes our jaws hit the floor. We see some pretty bad things in Internet of Things security, but this has to take the biscuit. After the WeVibe lawsuit and settlement, we started looking at the security of IoT sex toys again. A few questions. Is there any reason that a vibrator should also be a Wi-Fi access point? And should the vibrator also have an endoscope camera at the end of it? Should that vibrator also contain hidden functionality to connect itself to Skype, to save videos automatically to a network file share, send pictures in email, and, you know, you can actually do code injection on the web interface? It's called the SIMEye. It's a vibrator endoscope, and it's Wi-Fi enabled.
The answer's yes. You're trying to sell porn cams to chicks because there is a fetish out there for seeing where you came from.
Gross, man. Just gross.
It's a pretty normal, slightly awkwardly shaped vibrator with a camera in the end. It costs $250.
Oh, that's where they made the mistake. They shouldn't be planning to recoup the cost of the vibrator from the chick buying it. So, they sell the pre-owned vibrators for cheap and then recoup the cost from the videos they're publishing.
So it gets even funnier. They've dumped the app that runs it. Okay, go ahead, RU, before I go into this.
I was just sort of, what sort of fucking porn is this? It's daylight, it's dark. It's daylight, it's dark. That's all I'm thinking.
Maybe it's got a little LED on the end of it. I don't know.
The
pictures are not all that clear.
That's what I mean.
It's not all that clear.
I just realized what I said.
I don't even know if I want this in high definition at this point.
Like, it gets even funnier.
I can see a lot of joke videos, like this really hot chick. She's like, yeah, now I'm going to stick this in my cunt. And there's spiders in there just to scare the shit out of virgins.
Yeah, the screen goes dark. You see it coming up.
A trapdoor spider.
Yeah, a trapdoor spider jumps out. Or like a monster hand.
I'm going to need a date and a timestamp on the inside of that, thanks. Prove it to you.
It lights up into a cave and you just see Bigfoot walk across.
A little fuck you. Oh,
Cypros,
man.
Cypros, bad. No. No Cypros. That's horrible.
Stick it in there and there's a fucking creeper.
These cameras, they are an access point. This brings a whole new meaning to war driving.
So get this. It's called the SIMEye. The SIMEye normal use case in conjunction with an iPhone or Android app. You turn it on and connect to its AP, its SSID is SIMEye with the default password of looks like 8 8s. Open the app and then insert it. Really? The app itself is limited. You can view the live stream, take pictures or videos, and then save them to your device. Everything you expect from the camera. And they decompiled the Android app, and they noticed libraries in the Android app called SkyViper and WingedCam. So the company that makes these dildos took the hardware from the little toy El Cheapo drones that a lot of companies have been making that do video feed to a phone. They have an access point and they have like a moderately high res camera on them. And they took these drone cameras and put it in a dildo. And so because that's all it is, they figured out that these things, the Wi-Fi access points are very easy to hack. The software is pretty crappy. There's some back doors into it to get it, and they were able to get it to connect to Skype calls and to take pictures to network shares. They were even able to Telnet into the damned thing. They dumped the ROM. So they did a whole bunch of work taking it apart, and good on them. It's actually a really good article on taking apart Internet of Things and figuring out what all the code it's running is and what kind of vulnerabilities it would have. So it's actually
really hard for this project.
Yeah, it's actually a really good project. As far as how to take apart, an embedded device and figure out what code it's running. But at the same time, it's still a Wi-Fi enabled camera dildo.
Hey, you can take pride in your work even if you're working on a dildo.
Oh man.
So since they managed to, after taking it apart, they figured out that the root password was recam for debug. R-E-E cam for debug. So if you happen to be war driving and you see an S-I-I-M-E cam Wi-Fi or, you know, SSID, that's a dildo. The telnet root password is recam for debug. So now that you've got a shell, you can put a root shell and persistence on a dildo.
And
say that out loud again.
You can put root shell and persistence on a dildo.
There we go. That's it. Blade Runner, we're out.
We're the big swinging Johnson, bro.
It gets even better.
Oh, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
What'd you do this weekend? Put a root kit on my. Oh, no.
No, you don't put it on your dildo, are you? You put it on someone else's.
No. Madman, we have to say the dildo.
The dildo. We can't imply ownership, I'm sorry. In the event of a dildo, ownership cannot be implied.
You're fucking sitting there and your son just starts screaming, your daughter yelling. What were you doing, son? I don't know, I found a feed.
I don't want to be fed into a wood chipper.
The future is gross.
Go ahead.
So I was reading further into that article. I don't know if you're going to keep reading or not. If you're not,
no, I'm done.
Okay. So I see that they have an admin account that's hard coded into the software. It's literally admin and blank password. And apparently, you can go to, like, there's some also some war driving websites out there where you can go and search for access points.
Oh, so you can easily find people who own these if it ever happens to get cataloged?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
This is why I can't have regular conversations.
I'm crazy. Oh, that's gonna be a dinner conversation at your next wife's dinner party. It'll be great.
So, who here has a fucking Wi-Fi accident? Did you know they could be hacked?
Yeah, you're big into security, are you? What do you think? Oh, fuck! I didn't want to know. I've got it, Madman. We're gonna be rich. Sex toy Faraday cages.
No, do you have to get in the Faraday cage while using the sex toy?
I don't know.
That seems like as good a time as any.
Yeah, it's your choice, man. In or out. Rocket snail bucket.
So if you combine this with the sex robot brothel from last decade...
Oh no.
Okay.
Who made this thing? Who made it? I'm going to give them $5 just for the entertainment value. I feel like I've stolen something because they've entertained me.
You're going to make me Google this. Hang on.
Oh, don't worry about it, man. Just let's go.
It's a Skavakom. SVAKOM.
I'll be getting $5 in the mail for the entertainment.
All right. The last thing I have for tonight is a website called explainshell.com. This is actually fairly cool. You can pretty much plug damn near any Linux command line into it, and it will actually pull up documentation for the command showing you roughly what it's actually going to do. So if you're learning Linux and you're not certain what command does, and somebody said, you know, just do rm/rf, dash rf, and then / and see what that does. I just did that in explain shell right now, rm removes files or directories. Dash R means recursive. Dash F means force. And then that path is remove these files. So, you know, the root. But I don't know if it does with regex. I haven't tried. But anyways, it's basically a fancy breakdown of any bash command you throw in it. So you can do a couple of things. You can actually, if somebody sends you a command to run and you're not sure about it, you can plug it into this website and see what it's going to do. It's not going to show you exactly because it's not going to process the command, but it at least pulls up the documentation so you can see what the command could do, right? And from there, you can logic out what it actually does. The other thing you could do with it is if you're learning, obviously, or you've just, you know, heard of a command and you don't know what the, I don't know, what's up, sed, if you don't know what sed does, you know, the stream editor for filtering and transporting text, if you don't know what that is, you can plug it in there. Or unk, if you don't know what unk is, UNIQ, you know, report or omit repeated lines, if you don't know that it means unique. So, yeah, you hear a command, you don't know what it is, this thing will actually tell you what it is. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is.
So that's all I've really got for tonight. If anybody orders one of these dildos, let us know. We'll come by and hack it for you. And
I won't.
I'm not. But Madman might. What do you think, Madman? You going to order one?
I'm not going to order one, no. There's many things I don't want in my internet history. This is one of them.
Wouldn't it be easier just to duct tape a GoPro onto your existing?
I like Cycros's idea. They're Christmas presents for ladies.
Dude, I'm going to modify it one more step. I'm going to put a Fitbit in it. That way you know how many calories you burn.
You could measure it beforehand and plug it into Big's cock miles formula.
Oh, man, I just cost myself $1 million idea. You know it's coming, dude. Somebody's going to kickstart this shit now.
The pedometer in the dildo. Yep, that's right. Using this for 1 hour is equivalent to 40 minutes of walking.
Oh, Fitbit and a butt plug. Don't look like a douche wearing a Fitbit? Put it up your ass.
God. It can also then measure your diet.
I don't want to be fed into a...
You need more fiber and less corn.
Oh man, with self-driving cars, homemade movies just got more interesting. What are you watching? I don't know. It's light, it's dark, it's light, it's dark. And there's some bitch screaming. Is it a horror movie? I can't tell anymore.
Oh,
there's blood and liquids everywhere and someone's screaming.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, they're only $169.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck the future. It's gross.
Well, are you? I was seriously considering stealing future news from another old show, but I'm not going to because I'm afraid what the answer would be now.
Oh, well, God, are you? What you wanted to create already exists.
So, rocket sailing past that. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The course of Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me. Somebody sent me a message on there, and I just haven't had a chance to read it yet, and it's been like a week. Sorry, work's been nuts. So, anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Does anybody have anything before I play the Pac-Man noise?
No, I think we killed this. We gotta get off this horse.
Beat it, nightmares beat it, for a week. Beat it all the way to the root, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That fucker to the ground.
I think it's a blood smear now.
Hands o's a cunt. Hands o's a cunt. Hands o's a cunt.
Is going interstellar.